You guys sound good. Sound real good. Last night, we looked at Jacob, and we didn't really know if we were supposed to like him or not. As we looked more and more at his story, we realized we didn't know if we were supposed to like this guy. I mean, he's in the Bible. Well, aren't we supposed to like all the Bible guys? Especially the ones that God gets a hold of, wrestles with, changes their name, changes their identity. But tonight is Moses. You guys looked into Moses in your small groups, and I'm going to run straight into three verses where we can find ourselves in Moses' story that are really, really clear for especially a junior high. Look at the very first one, three in a row. Chapter 33, verse 13. You guys read this in your small group, so I'm repeating here. The verse is, teach me your ways. This is Moses talking to God, so that I may know you. Teach me your ways so that I may know you. When I read this verse and I was praying and preparing for our session, I was like, for a junior high audience, that is great news. You are not supposed to know this yet. Let me say that again. This is great news. You're not supposed to know this yet. This is Moses, the dude that led 1 million. Name that movie, what I keep referring to. Austin Powers. Thank you. Okay, great. I just want to make sure two of us knew what it was. 1 million. Slaves were led to Mount Sinai to worship the Lord. And what Moses says is, I don't know it all yet. That is awesome for the junior high. In your small groups, you guys are I hope, kind of wrestling with the scripture a little bit and finding some aha moments about God and his people. So I went to the notes, the small group notes. I've got it pulled up here on my computer. And I'm really curious, because when I was reading through this one, what posture, you know what posture means? Like, how physically does God sit, stand, whatever? What posture does God take when you think of him? Did any of your small groups talk about that today and come up with a unique answer or something that I have never thought of before? What posture does God take when you think about him? Did any small groups talk about that one? No? Maybe one? Awesome. Yeah. He says, I don't really even think about it like a posture because I'm trying to get a face, but I can't really understand what face is supposed to look like. I want to talk about that in just a little bit more. Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Nice. The posture is warmth, or even more atmosphere, even warmth. And the idea of, man, when you get hugged, you get the goosebumps on your sunburn. Now, that's me right now. Got the goosebumps on my sunburn. Okay. I'm just curious about that. The goal of those small groups is not to come up with the right answer. Those things are not written so that you know the right answer at the end of this week. It is so that you may know God more deeply. There's no right answer. Let's hit the next verse. 33:15. I love it when Moses says this. He looks at God, right, or in God's general direction, maybe not his face, and he says, God, if your presence does not go with us, if your presence does not go with us, don't move me. Think about what Moses is saying there. If he says, not only do I want to know you, I want to know you, I don't know you yet, but you must move with me. In the New Testament, John chapter 16, it tells the story of how God goes with you back home. How God goes with you into your city, into your school. Wherever you move, John 16 tells the story of how God goes with you. And Moses is saying, teach me how that works. John chapter 16. You guys can write it down and find it yourself. The thing to get right here is that Moses has an order. He's saying, first, go, like, if he's, that word if says that, God, you've got to make the motion, and then I'm going to move. God, if you don't move me, then I'm not going anywhere. That sets up the third thing. Here's it is. Genesis 33, verse 16. And this is like the anti-junior high verse, right? This is the anti-junior high verse. He says, what will distinguish me from everyone else? I want to know you, God. I want to be moved by you, God. And I want to look different because of it. Junior high students, this is a safe thing to say. You do not have to look like everyone else within your small group, everyone else within your school, everyone else within your home even. You want to move by God, knowing him more deeply. And here's the deal. The deeper you know him, the more you follow, it will shape everything about your life. And you will be transformed. You will look different. Knowing God deeply, being moved by him, will shape you to look so different. And that's the setup to get to the final verse here that I want to point at. And here it is, 33:18. Moses says, now, pause right there. I want to know you more deeply. If you don't move me, what's going to make me look different? Okay, those things are all in the bag. Great. Now show me your glory. We get that backwards a lot. We say, God, I want to see you, and then I want to look like you, and then I'll let you move me, and then I'll know you more deeply. But you've got to show me you first before I believe. See, that's what the Israelites did in the desert too. Bread every single morning, meat every single day, water from rocks, and GPS in the desert. You don't get cell phone reception out there. Like this, the Israelites saw God everywhere. And yet, they struggled, they wrestled to see him. And here's what Moses says. Moses says, after all of that, show me your glory. I want to know you. I want to move after you. I want to look differently because I'm doing that. And after all those things, I will see you. Now, here's the spoiler alert. Like Jacob, the rest of Moses' story, he doesn't live perfectly. Like Moses gets angry. Moses is like, bah! Israelites, whack, hits the rock in the right way with the wrong words. And this is the crazy one. God says, for your choice, Big Mo, there's consequences. Moses doesn't get to go into the promised land. He gets to take a victory lap in the desert. I mean, he doesn't live perfectly, but Moses' heart is to see God. Like, here's the hope. We're going to move through this week. We're going to see God in hopefully a new way. We're going to hear this about this guy named Jesus. And at the end of it, man, our hearts are going to become transformed because of this week in some new way. And then we're going to go home and we're going to forget. And we're going to live differently. And we're going to mess up. I mean, that's the nature of sin. And Moses in Scripture does that too. So this isn't a call to live perfectly. This is a call to know God more deeply. That's the desire of Moses' heart. And then to say, God, I'm only moving where you send me. And then to say, and I want to look different because of it. I want you to shape me, transform me. And God, I want to see your glory a little bit more. Okay, now back up. Because when I was reading this again, I saw something brand new. I saw something brand new. Okay, as I was reading this, I said, I asked myself this question, what did God give Moses? Did you guys read the story in your small group? He said, okay, I will put you in the cleft of a rock. That means like a crack of a rock. And then God said, I'm going to put my hand in front of you. And I'm going to let my glory pass and you can see my back. Right? That's what he was allowed to see. Here's the deal. God gave Moses exactly what Moses could handle. God gave Moses exactly what he could handle, because one of the small groups had a great question. Whose small group said, now wait a minute, how did Jacob wrestle with God and at the end of the night say, holy crap, I saw God. And yet, I saw God face to face and I'm living. And then Moses is not allowed to see his face. What small group said that question? Because I know that's, was that you guys? You said, wait, how did Jacob get to see God's face, but then Moses couldn't, right? Was that you guys? All right, that's a great question. Did anybody else think that thought? At the end of Jacob's wrestle moment, he says, I saw God face to face, and I'm alive. What the heck? And now here's Moses going, I want to see your face. And God's going, you can't. And as I was wrestling with that after this morning counselor session from your small group, great job, guys, and everybody else who thought that thought, this is what I thought to myself. I said, God is not a one-size-fits-all God. He is completely personal to you, and that looks different than God completely personal to you, which looks really different than God uniquely personal to me. God will give each of you exactly what you can handle, because he is not a unisex, one-size-fits-all, like a snapback cap. That's not God. He's a fitted hat. Low profile, of course. Some of you baseball players know what I'm talking about. This is beautiful. This is beautiful that God will meet you each uniquely and personally where you are. The best part of Moses' story, as far as I'm concerned, is if you keep reading from verse 33 into chapter 33 into verse 34, exactly what Moses could handle was 40 days on the mountaintop of Mount Sinai. He could handle 40 days. And when he came down from the mountain, look how personal this is. He had to wear a veil over his face because his face was so bright. It was radiating so much that the rest of the people couldn't handle it. And so Exodus 34 says Moses literally wore a hood. He was like Darth Maul. Well, kind of. Not really. But he wore this thing over his head, and then when he would go to church, he could take it off and be with God face to face. And then when he came out of church, because the radiance was so much, God will meet you uniquely where you are, whoever you are, wherever you are. But he will give you the portion to what you can handle. So there's a small answer for that small group. How did Jacob see God's face and live to tell about it, and Moses not? Because uniquely given is how God looks at his people. And that's personal for us too. And so here's my big close. Here in the Wisconsin woods, here in new friends, old friends, here we're opening this book without fear, right? Where there's no persecution here for me to say these words. When we sing, when I tell the story of Scripture, God is giving you exactly what you can handle. And here's the deal. My question for y'all is, do you want to see God's glory? Step Up Camp, you can handle this. God will give you what you can handle, but you got to want to know him more deeply. You have to want to move where he already is and say, if you're not there, then I'm not going to God. You have to say, God, I want to be transformed. And if those are the avenues of your heart, then you can say, now show me your glory, because this verse is coming. In Christ, all the fullness of God lives in bodily form. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the glory. You can handle this. In Christ, all the fullness of God, the face of God, lives in bodily form. If you guys were to say, God, I want to know you. God, I want to be moved by you. God, I want to be transformed by you. Now show me your glory. Do you know what God would say to you? Look at Christ. Because I dwell in his bodily form. That's one that you've got to say. But you've got to get those first three right before you can ask for the glory. You have to say first, I need to know you, God, more deeply. And I don't know the answer. You've got to say this, God, I only want to move where you're moving me to, and I don't want to manipulate you, God. You have to say that when I move after you, God, I want to look different. And if those are the avenues of your heart, then you're ready to say, Exodus 33:18, now show me your glory. I did, is what God will tell you. Because that is so cool because of the next verse. Look at verse 10. And you have been given fullness in Christ. Guys, that's the story that we get to keep telling over the next several days. But that story is not for you if your heart is not already alongside Moses's, which says you don't have to be perfect by the end of it. It says you have to want to know him more deeply. You can't know the right answers and be someone that follows God. This isn't a black or white book. This is people we don't really like sometimes. You have to say, God, I'm only moving where you're going. And you have to say, God, I am willing to look different because of it. Now show me your glory. It's in Christ, and here's the beauty. And you have been given fullness in Christ. All right? We'll keep telling that story the rest of this week. Let's pray. God, that is hopeful, hopeful, hopeful for me. And yet, it's a huge concept. And so I pray that walking out of here, you give us the portion of you that we can handle. And we trust you for that. Amen.